craving are supplanting informed debate and commitment to democracy.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. That was Time of Useful Consciousness that you can hear every Monday from 5 to 5:30 p.m. Coming up next is Disability Beat, but before that, a couple of announcements. First of all, the Art Theater this week is playing several movies. Morris from America will be shown 5 times this week with a story that has some novel narrative twists and about a father-son relationship that gains added resonance because of its powerful performance from Craig Robinson. Playing daily is Miss Sharon Jones. That enters a year in the life of the popular funk soul singer who was trying to release a new album while battling pancreatic cancer. Also screening daily is Little Men, that takes a compassionate look at the ways in which adult problems impact childhood friendships and offers another affecting New York drama from director Ira Sachs. Plus, The Matrix will have 3 late-night showings at 10 p.m. Orson Welles' Chimes at Midnight is the free member screening to be shown this Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. For all updates and times, you can go to the website at www.arttheater.coop/full-schedule. This hour of programming also and today's Disability Beat is sponsored by our community partner, Jets Pizza. Jets uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jets Pizza stores are located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign. Their number, 217-352-3333. And 1907 West Springfield Avenue, their number 217-352-9992. You can order online at jetspizza.com. Disability Beat is also sponsored in part by attorney Baku Patel of Patel Law, who practices Social Security disability law and represents those who have been denied benefits. There are no fees unless Patel Law wins your case. You can contact Patel Law for a free consultation to discuss your Social Security disability case. Patel Law is located at 108 West University Avenue in Urbana, with offices in Danville and Decatur. For more information, visit patellawteam.com or call 217-384-1111. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
My name is Deb Fornoff from the Arc of Illinois, Illinois Lifespan Program. You are listening to Disability Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its Board of Directors, Associate Station Manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a session about the upcoming 10th Annual Disability Resource Expo in Champaign with Barb Bresner, the Expo Coordinator, and Jim Mayer, the Chair of the Exhibitor Committee. But first, disability news for the week of September 19th, 2016. Efforts to promote self-advocacy among people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are getting a major boost with the creation of a first-ever national resource center. Federal officials said this week that they are allocating $2 million over 5 years to develop a national resource center for self-advocacy. The new offering will include an online clearinghouse with information on best practices, a training curriculum, and self-advocacy success stories. In addition, those behind the center will research the history of self-advocacy, provide support to new and existing self-advocacy groups across the country, and create a fellowship program to promote leadership development among those with disabilities. Catherine Cargill Willis is the program specialist with the Administration on Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, a part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Community Living, and they are providing the funding. Said Cargill Willis, quote, "The people affected by policy should have the greatest voice in developing it. With this grant, ACL aims to make this ideal more of a reality for people with disabilities," end quote. The Resource Center will be led by Self-Advocates Becoming Empowered, otherwise known as SABE. They will be working with 11 other organizations with similar missions. A new study looking at the prevalence of Down syndrome over the last 60 years finds that the condition may be far less common than previously thought. As of 2010, just over 206,000 Americans had the chromosomal disorder, according to findings published online this month in the journal Genetics in Medicine. That figure, which equates to about 6.7 cases per 10,000 people, falls short of the 400,000 estimate often reported by advocacy groups. According to Brian Scott Coe, co-director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Down Syndrome Program and a senior author of the report, quote, "Almost every book, webpage, and research article about Down syndrome begins with what should be a simple fact, the number of people living with the condition in the U.S. But what we found is that most of those statistics are gross overestimations of the actual data," end quote. The study is believed to be the first look at fluctuations in the Down syndrome population over the course of 60 years and relies on an analysis of several databases reflecting birth trends, overall population shifts, and changes in longevity for those with the chromosomal disorder, among other factors. Less than 50,000 Americans had Down syndrome in 1950, researchers found. By 2010, that figure had grown fourfold. The vast majority, 138,000, were white. Meanwhile, roughly 33,000 were Hispanic and just over 27,000 were black. A number of factors are likely impacting population trends among those with Down syndrome, researchers said. In recent years, prenatal testing and elective termination have become more available. At the same time, however, people with a disorder are living longer thanks to better treatments for heart defects that are common among this group and other co-occurring conditions like thyroid disease, obstructive sleep apnea, and leukemia. A reality show following the lives of seven young adults with developmental disabilities has come out on top, winning an Emmy for Outstanding Unstructured Reality Program. The A&E hit Born This Way took home the prize last Sunday night at the Creative Arts Emmy Awards in Los Angeles. The show focuses on the everyday experiences of its stars, all of whom have Down syndrome, following them through the ups and downs of dating, employment, and the quest for independence. Born This Way debuted late last year and is already in the midst of its second season after seeing viewership increase 67% over the course of its initial six-episode run. The documentary series bested a field of nominees that included Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch, HBO's Project Greenlight, and CNN's United Shades of America, among others, for the award. Born This Way airs Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Central Time on A&E. When it comes to writing, people love to advise, write what you know, but Scott Silveri, creator and showrunner of ABC's new family comedy, Speechless, would be the first to tell you that crafting a narrative out of your own experience is nowhere near as easy as it seems. Silveri said the series is based on his life growing up in a family that included his brother, who has disabilities. According to Silveri, quote, "It's like where comedy meets therapy. It's actually gotten easier and easier the farther away I've gotten from my actual experience," end quote. Speechless premieres at 7:30 p.m. Central Time on September 21st, centers its comedy on characters Jimmy and Maya DeMeo and their children JJ, Ray, and Dylan as they search for the best possible school to provide support for JJ's cerebral palsy and the family as a whole. Perhaps the most important aspect of his childhood that Silveri wanted to depict accurately was the set of unique challenges facing a family that has a child with special needs. To help preserve that experience, the series brought in an expert to guide the process. Richard Ellenson is chief executive of the Cerebral Palsy Foundation and consultant for Speechless. Ellenson said he is excited for the opportunity the series offers to get people talking about cerebral palsy. He said, quote, "What the show is doing is being brave and honest and using humor to avoid pussyfooting around. It's allowed us to start conversations that people are uncomfortable starting." And finally, the Rio Paralympics Games concluded yesterday. It was a USA sweep on Thursday evening as the U.S. collected 6 medals, 2 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze on the 8th day of track and field competition at Olympic Stadium. The McTrio of Tatiana McFadden, Chelsea McClammer, and Amanda McCrory combined once again for gold, silver, and bronze in the women's 500 meter after sweeping the women's 1500. The teammates at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign orchestrated the race, with McFadden making her move in the final lap to grab gold. McFadden said, quote, "We train together, so we work really, really well together. There's no one I want more on the podium than my teammates. I think the whole world was looking at us and we were looking at them, and we said, hey, we're going to work together. We're stronger that way, and it definitely showed today," end quote. 2 hours later, McFadden and McClammer pulled double duty with the 4x400 relay. They were joined by Hannah McFadden and Sherry Madsen, finishing with silver behind the People's Republic of China. And that's the news for this week.
Heading for the finish line, down in the train yard, out by the stockyard. Butchers with aprons hack meat in the snow. Blood has the brothers pulsing with envy. Heading for the finish line. Two Randy Brothers' faces keep changing, like these feelings that I have for you. Nothing's forever, not even 5 minutes, when you're heading for the finish line. Down by the depot, out by the meat rack, ah, down by the tunnels surrounding the jail.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM Community Radio for East Central Illinois. And we are, just to take a moment to pitch for WEFT, we are in Pledge Drive. In the last few days of our Pledge Drive, we really need your support. If you are not yet a member of WEFT, it's very easy to do. Just give us a call here at the station, the number 217-359-9338, and make your pledge over the phone, or you can go online at weft.org/support. WEFT is community supported by people in the community just like you, or small local businesses as well. So if you have been listening to WEFT and haven't pledged, then give us a call today. We are short of our goal by about $3,500, and we would like to be able to say that we met the goal this time around and keep this great radio station on the air. So again, the number 359-9338, and we are waiting for your call. And now I welcome as my guest today Barb Bresner, who is the coordinator of the Disability Resource Expo and has been for the last 10 years. And doing a bang up job. I know she's all stressed out because it's coming up soon, but she's an awesome guest and glad she could make it, as well as Jim Mayer. Jim is the chair of the Disability Resource Expo Exhibitor Committee. And so if you're listening and thinking that you might someday like to be an exhibitor at the expo, Jim would be the person to contact, I think. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vicki.
So why don't, Jim, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about the history of the expo, how that came to be. Barb, certainly pipe in whenever you have something to add. How's that?
All right. Well, 10 years ago, a group of folks emerged with some prompting by the Mental Health Board of Champaign County and also the Developmental Disabilities Board, those two entities sort of agreed to sponsor the expo and kick it off. But it really was a very broad-based grassroots effort, you know, that has involved over the years people from all kinds of settings in the community, some providers of services to people with disabilities, some interested citizens, folks like myself from the school, you know, involved with providing special education services in the Champaign County area. So it's really become a broad-based thing and has grown over the years. Really, when we first started out, I think we may have had about 53, Barb says, 53 mm-hmm. exhibitors our first year. And now this year, we are at 98 as of today, which should be probably...
I heard you just added one more today, actually.
We did, and we're probably at our final count at this point, but 98 exhibitors for this mm-hmm. year, yeah, almost 100.
So why, in your opinion, is this an important event for people in the disability community to know about? Why should they care about this event?
Well, that's a great question, because really this event has become, you know, more than just a provider of information. You know, it kind of launched out of that intent to provide, you know, lots of information to folks in our community, but it's really become much more than that. It's become really, I think, a celebration of the gifts of folks with disabilities among us, and really also a huge kind of awareness type effort, because, you know, we really hope and have seen, I think, evidence of the word spreading in our community and the event, you know, just through the growth of the event, the number of people that come, including folks with disabilities who want information, but also folks who just really want to learn about disability issues, and also who want to have fun, who just want to celebrate as a community. So I think, you know, also through some of the entertainment that's happened at the event that has featured folks with disabilities, I think we've really, we hope, raised the level of awareness in our community over the 10 years span of the event.
Barb, you want to add something to that?
I was just going to say, I think it's also really helped to break down the barriers of, you know, that stigma that you see related to the disability, you know, community. So,
mm-hmm. So what might people, what kinds of exhibits might people expect to see when coming that are, you know, typical that you would find?
Sure. You know, we have we try to do a really broad range of covering disabilities, you know, resources for folks, you know, with physical disabilities, intellectual developmental disabilities, you know, mental health, hearing, you know, substance abuse, you name it, kind of the whole gamut, recreation, transportation, just a lot of stuff that we try to cover, and I think I've done a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm. So you would find the typical well-known providers in the community that many people have already heard of and maybe have already had access to, but aren't there lots of other things that people may not know about?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, new technology. We try to bring the latest technology to the expo each year, and you know, this year we've got a couple of new providers that are bringing some really neat technology. We've got it's called Obi, and it's basically a robotic system to help people who have, you know, difficulties with feeding themselves.
Mm.
We've got another one that's called U-Control, and it's a way to operate, you know, drawers and doors and things like that that just make it a whole lot easier for those folks that need those kind of accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you know, my understanding with that provider is that it's a lower cost system than you see typically in commercial buildings, you know, that have the more elegant door opening systems. This is one that just attaches to your doorways at home with a little roller at the bottom that allows that door to be operated with a remote control device, and really a low cost system to get around your own home easier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's cool. And that's just one, you know, one example among many of these services that we hope will really be helpful to folks in our community to learn about.
Yeah. So what are some of the brand new ones? I'm assuming those two are new.
We have gee, we have a bunch of new ones. I'm trying to think who they all are. Help me out here, Jim.
Yeah, we have a couple of providers of therapeutic horse rides, one that's been before to the expo, but one brand new to the area. So that's something that's emerged really in the last few years. We've also discovered some other providers of various kinds of healthcare service and that sort of thing.
Other support groups. You know, we have a number of support groups that are there. Mm-hmm. That will. We have an ostomy support group that's new this year. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else.
The typical groups like the autism program and the Down Syndrome Network and all those disability specific groups.
Right, but there's another mm-hmm. example though of a newer support network in the community is one called CU Able, which is. A group of parents of young children with disabilities of all types.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a newer emerging organization you may have talked about on your show.
They've
in the past.
Actually, yeah. Yes, they've been on the program before.
That's great.
Yeah, a great group.
Yeah.
And so this is being held when and where?
Okay, it is being held Saturday, October 15th at the Fluid Events Center. The address is 601 North Country Fair Drive in Champaign. It'll be held from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. You know, folks can kind of come and go or stay all day if they want. That's great. We have...
Because we'll be staying all day.
Yes, we will be there, definitely.
All three of us.
All of us, yeah. And, you know, Vicki's been a great support to us over the years, and we appreciate that as well. You know, we have activities going on all day. There's just something
let's
hopping
talk
all
about
the time.
That. Let's talk about what's
all right.
going on.
Sure. Well, we have a... We have a great schedule of events this year for our stage. Of course, our friends, the Ambucks, are going to be there presenting an Amtrike again this year. They pretty much do that every year, and that's great. We have a new one this year. It's called First Gig Rock and Roll Camp for Kids. And I'm really excited to see what that looks like. Sounds really neat.
Yeah, they're both a performing group, and they will have a booth to provide more information about their program. But basically, they have a program in the Danville
area. It's like a camp program
for kids? It's a rock and roll camp that kind of has specialized in serving kids with disabilities.
Yep.
So, kind of a neat thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then we have we're going to have a musical performance by CU Theater Company's new Penguin Project.
They were on the program a couple months ago when they were first getting up and running. So you might want to just describe a little bit of who they are.
They are a group that actually give the opportunity to kids with developmental disabilities, I believe. To perform. Get up there, and I mean, it's amazing what these kids can do, and very talented kids. And they're going to be doing that weekend, actually, the weekend of the expo. They're going to be doing Aladdin Jr. Mm-hmm. over at the Orpheum, and I think they'll probably have some tickets for sale there. And they're going to perform some numbers from that, so that'll be.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
They're also going to have a booth. So.
Right, uh-huh. So they'll provide info, you know, to families whose kids may want to become involved in future productions. But yeah, the current production, I know, involves quite a scad of children, including kids with disabilities. And then also there are mentors, kind of peer mentors that I understand every cast member will has had during the rehearsals and through the production. So that's a neat aspect of that program.
Yeah, and you got to give credit to CU Theater Company for stretching their boundaries and making this happen. Because when I had the director of that program on, they said, we really don't have any experience with kids with disabilities. We just think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
great. That's amazing.
Is great. Mm-hmm. It is. You know, our Champaign-Urbana Special Rec is going to have a bocce ball demonstration, and they're going to, I think, engage some folks from the audience to kind of give it a try as well. So mm-hmm. that'll be pretty neat.
Yeah.
We have a band, a jazz and Latin band called Ryan and Nucleus.
Uh-huh.
Never heard them before, but I'm excited to hear that. And then we're going to have Bora Kang, who's a classical pianist, who will be performing in our art area, artisan area.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk a little bit about the artisan area as well, because that's a pretty cool thing also.
It really is. We will probably have 25 artists or so in that room that will. These are our artists and entrepreneurs, basically, who mm-hmm. are going to set up a booth. They will sell their artwork and whatever it is they do. So, you know, some beautiful stuff, beautiful stuff. I mean, we've got jewelry, we've got photography, we've got
watercolor painting,
young lady who writes books, mm-hmm. and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's really neat. You can do your Christmas shopping there.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Yeah.
And it's a way to support some folks who are trying to start their own business, some folks with disabilities in our community who are very talented. So, it's kind of a neat way to kind of feature those folks as well as make their items available.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what else have we forgotten to add in? Because there's so much more.
Yeah, I think we forgot the children's activity area.
Oh, yeah.
We need to highlight. So that's an area there at the Food Event Center that it's its own room that's set aside for kids to have fun. There's a bounce house in there. There's an interactive set of murals where the kids can color and draw.
Games.
Yeah, some of your prizes. Typical sort of fair games or carnival games. So that's intended to just be a fun place for the kids that are there to go and hang out. You know, when they're a little getting tired of trooping around to the booths with their family, they can go and hang out in the kids' activity area and get a balloon animal or get their face painted or play a game. Or activity, so.
But with their parents, right?
Correct.
It's not a drop-off center.
It's not a drop-off babysitting service. No, it's an interactive thing for families. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there also I understand a scavenger hunt type of event as well. So
yes.
People can do this and get prizes for their participation.
They can, and it's also intended to be just. Another way to make the expo fun and informative.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we're featuring employment first success stories. So folks with disabilities who have gained employment in our community, through perhaps some support services of a local agency, and so we really want to feature those individuals, their success in employment, and also their employers, folks who have opened their door to those folks as employees, and so we'll have. A number of sites, I think 10 in all, throughout the exhibit hall where our younger children who are there can have a game card where they try to find those 10 sort of hidden locations with these.
That
with
could
these
be an all-day project. I've been in that room. It's pretty large room with lots of exhibitors, but
right.
that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And it gives some recognition to folks who are working real jobs in the community and being very successful at it. So I think that's pretty exciting as well.
Yeah. And then there will be prizes. You know, if a kid finds 6 of the 10 featured locations, they get a prize.
Yeah.
So that's neat, too.
And, of course, adults can join in and play, too. So
And they do.
And they do. Yes, they do.
Absolutely.
They get a lot out of it, too.
So this is a free event for
yes,
people in the community. There's no admission cost.
No admission cost. You know, they might want to bring a little money if they're going to shop in the artisans area,
free parking, free admission.
Yes,
the only expenses really would be if they want to buy any snacks there or artwork.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, how is this paid for then?
Well, we have been very fortunate that our business community has come forth to support us in this. We have, you know, some great sponsorships. Quality Med Transport is one of our big supporters. They have been for several years, and they just do so much to help us out. Thrivent Financial is sponsoring the artisans area, and First Federal is in the kids area. They're mm-hmm. going to sponsor that and Flag Out. So.
And yeah. when you go to the expo, there will be, I'm sure, a big sign there with lots of sponsors mentioned. So.
They are acknowledged, yes.
And
definitely.
Still accepting them, if I'm not mistaken. So people want to sponsor the expo, Barb. Who do they contact?
They just need to contact me, Barb Bressner, at my email is B as in boy, and then my last name, B-R-E. SSNER@att.net, and we'll hook them up.
Thanks for joining us today, Barb Bressner, Expo Coordinator, and Jim Mayer, the exhibitor chairman of the exhibitor committee. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are podcast on our website at www.disabilitybeat.com or go to Facebook and look for Disability Beat Radio. Please send your comments and show ideas for guests or topics to Disability